Tanner Mulvihill, NMLS number 276814. Hey, everybody, I got a favor to ask. If you know a top producer or rising star you think would be a good guest on the podcast, please let me know. I would love to talk real estate with them and share their story. Also, if you haven't already, please check out my new Facebook group, Coast to Coast with Tanner. On there, I post motivational videos, clips from the show, and loan info from time to time. Just search on Facebook, Coast to Coast with Tanner. On this episode, I sat down with Josh Barris with Own Realty in Hampton Roads. During our conversation, we discussed Josh's unique journey from the Navy as an EOD tech to becoming a home inspector with over 1,000 inspections to then becoming Rookie of the Year for Hampton Roads. Along the way, we dove into how he crushes helping his sphere of influence, and then Josh gave me an awesome idea to help your referral business grow out of state. Finally, we wrapped it all up with a story that thankfully didn't end up in the papers. And now, my interview with Josh Barris on the Virginia is for Realtors podcast. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Virginia's for Realtors. I'm pleased to be joined today by Josh Barris with Own Real Estate. Josh, how are you today?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself, Tanner?
Oh, man, you can't beat this weather that we got right now. You're enjoying it from the outside. I'm heading out here in a little bit. You know, we're just kind of reminiscing about kind of a shared past for us. You being a California native, me spending some quality time on Camp Pendleton. So can't wait to kind of hear your story.
Excited to be here. Really appreciate it.
You bet. We always like to kick it off by giving folks an idea of what you did before you got into real estate. So kind of give us the rundown. What's your backstory? Did you grow up moving around all the time? Always wanted to be a realtor? What was the situation for you?
Yeah, no, realtor wasn't my first choice growing up. I joined the Navy at 18.
Okay.
Lived in Southern California my whole life. Kind of got to a point where, you know, you have that fork in the road where it's like, am I going to college? What am I going to do? So joined the Navy, ended up out here. Like, you know, I feel like most people that are out here that aren't native.
Right.
Seems like a lot of people's story. And got out of the Navy in 2020. And by that point, my wife and I had already set down our roots here, owned one home, starting to try for the process of having a kid. And here we are a few years later, living in Virginia Beach, got two kids now, and Virginia became home. So
perfect. Now, what was drawing you to real estate? You know, you bought the house here and you're like, man, I can do this. What kind of was the big factor for you getting into it?
You know, with the military, you see a lot of people with VA loans. And I was just fascinated with E4s, E5, lower enlisted guys that were getting back from their second deployment, buying another house, and then seeing like these 25-year-olds that have two, some of them three houses. How is this a thing that can be done? And it was just something that fascinated me the more I looked into it, just the idea of building equity by owning a home. There's no other thing like real estate that can support you and make you money while you're just existing. That's what drew me.
It changes the parameters for so many people of what wealth they can have in their life, right? Almost like the sooner you buy that first house, the better off you're going to be in 20 years, 30 years. It's just amazing how that works. And the people kind of put it off and put it off, they're behind the eight ball. So that's always the good part of being an agent. It's like you're helping them purchase something that adds wealth for their lifetime. So it's an easy quote unquote sell.
Absolutely. And it's something that's part of the job that does really excite me is you get these younger people that are buying houses and they're utilizing their VA loan. And I mean, I just closed a deal 2 weeks ago. Dude turned 21 last month, you know, and he's buying his first house and stuff. I was like, by the time you're up for your second duty station and you rotate out of here, like you've got 20, 25 grand worth of equity in this home. You hold it for your entire career in the Navy. That's your retirement.
Yeah, it's paid off. Yeah, by that point, you should have it paid off most likely. And who knows where the values will be on that house in 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And with real estate, you know, you stay in touch with your clients and stuff. This is my third full year in the business. And I've got people that I sold a home to in my first year that are, hey, Joshua, it's time to upsize. Like, well, what are you doing with the old one? Like, oh, we're holding on to it. Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer. And that's the stuff that really excites me and doing CMAs for them every once in a while. Like, hey, just so you know, X amount of X right now, if you were to sell. I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Exactly. Now, what was kind of your Navy background like? What skill set did you take from the Navy to bring into the real estate world?
I was an explosive ordnance technician, EOD.
Hold on. Let me see. You got all of your fingers? I just want to double check.
Not going to take my shoes off. But all the toes are there too. Did that for about 8.5 years. Got out rather abruptly. My time in the Navy ended. I got in a parachuting accident. Kept the fingers, but busted up a bunch of other things. So when I got separated, I was interested in real estate, but to commit fully. So I actually got into home inspections for about 2.5 years. So I was a licensed home inspector in Virginia, did close to 1,000 residential inspections conveyed to what I'm doing today. Absolutely. Obviously, the condition of a home is a pretty important thing in the buying and selling process. So,
I mean, that's a huge advantage. Yeah. I mean, I would think for you, especially with the number of reps, and we'll get into this a little bit of kind of like how quickly you can spot a problem, I guess would be a good way to put it. I mean, that's awesome. And look, what I know about EOD, you have to have a process. You have to follow it. It's very structured. It's very, as far as like defusing a bomb or anything like that. And it certainly translates into what we do. Here's our checklist. Make sure we go through everything correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're constantly just assessing and reassessing where you are in the process and what happens next. I got to be careful with how I say this. Otherwise, the guys are going to thrash me for this. But in EOD, the common saying is, hey, what's going to kill me now? When you're breaking down all these priorities and all these threats and stuff, like what's the most important thing to take care of right now? Obviously, I don't think there's too many things in real estate that can kill me.
Hopefully not.
You're constantly just going over to your prioritization of what needs to be dealt with at this moment. What can wait a little bit, and what is something that just needs a text message? Hey, we're going to work on it later. We're going to get it sorted. That kind of mindset has helped me a lot.
I would think too, the ability to compartmentalize stress. This job is very stressful for people in the beginning, and having that skill set of being kind of even keel from the start really makes things easier too.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
All right. Well, when we come back, let's talk about that first year of business, and we're going to pick up on kind of the home inspection side because I'm very interested in that as well. So we'll be right back with Josh.
Are you a realtor in the Fredericksburg area looking for a photographer you can depend on? Look no further than Jason Buttram Photography. Winner of the Freelance Star's Best of the Berg Award 4 years in a row, Jason is the real estate photographer of choice for many of the area's top agents, including several who have been featured right here on this podcast. Whether you are looking for standard photography, drone shots, 3D tours, floor plans, or even twilight photos, Jason and his team will bring out the beauty and character of your listing and have it back to you the next day. Booking an appointment is easy. Simply visit jasonbuttram.com. That's spelled Jason Buttram, BUTTRAM.com, or call or text him at 540-210-5518. Again, 540-210-5518. Make sure you tell him Tanner sent you. And now back to the show.
Well, welcome back, everyone. So Josh, at this point, you've decided to become a realtor, but you first start off in home inspection. I think people will have questions on the home inspection side. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you ran into your home inspector days that realtors had, or some tips and tactics for agents out there?
I'd say that the home inspection is a pass or fail thing. Okay. It's absolutely not. And that the inspector is going to give you an all-encompassing report of everything about your home from beginning to end. And that's not the reality. The reality is, you know, the home inspector's there doing a limited inspection of what they can do in 2.5-3 hours, right? And you're hiring a home inspector for between $350 and $550, right? Depending on the size of the home, maybe a little bit more, to give you kind of just a general idea of what the home is. And the thing about a home inspector versus contractor is a home inspector is not there looking for work. You bring an HVAC guy out, he's going to find a problem with your HVAC.
Right.
Not my guy, because he's an honest guy. But for the most part, you bring a contractor out, they're going to find problems. Home inspector is going to kind of break things down. This is what it is. This is what it's doing. This is what it's supposed to be doing. Call this person. See you later, sort of thing. I mean, buying a home is inherently risky. So to expect a home inspector to catch every little thing about your home, it's unreasonable, but it saves you $200 for a plumber coming out, $200 for an HVAC guy coming out, bring out a roofing contractor, all that sort of stuff. So those are the two kind of big takeaways from my time in home inspections.
It makes sense. So you get your real estate license and you decide, all right, I'm going in on the real estate side. Walk us through kind of your first 90 days. Like, how did you start getting business? Did you have some people waiting in the wings? Like, what was that first period for you like?
It was definitely a different transition going from home inspections to real estate than it was going from the Navy to not the Navy. You know, I had the privilege, I guess, of doing the home inspections and seeing all these rock star agents, these agents I was doing one, sometimes two inspections a week. When it came down to it, there was two brokerages I was really focused on. I really wanted to kind of sit down and see what would be a better fit for me. And own real estate ended up being a brokerage, hands down. It was one of those things. I know you've had a few other own agents on here that talked about the mentorship program. Basically, the deal was you get your mentor, you learn from them, and you go from there. So my mentor was Kyle Florio, who, you know, was great over the years. When it was time for me to get my real estate license, I passed the test. I said, Kyle, hey, dude, let's go. He's like, all right, cool. sat down with Jonathan Melvin, one of the owners of OWN, and from there followed the mentorship program like many of the OWN agents did and got Rookie of the Year out of it.
That's a big deal in Hampton Roads too. So let's unpack that a little bit. When you're starting the mentorship program, what is Kyle having you do right out of the gate? Like, we need to get clients. What are your action items to start that?
He was there for help when I needed help. And as far as going to find people, writing letters, making phone calls, doing pop buys, all that fun sort of real estate marketing that everyone kind of does to beef up their network, really. Kyle was there for helping with contracts and stuff. Play offense is one of the big takeaways. It's like, you're in a situation where I don't want to be that guy going around like, hey, do you want to buy a house? Do you want to buy a house? But you know, if I was somewhere and people were talking about real estate or getting orders here, I'm going there like, oh, well, what are you doing with your house? You know, what's the situation? Yeah. Trying to put myself in those situations. And that was kind of it. I was fortunate that with the community in the Navy that I was in, smaller community. So I still kept in contact with plenty of the guys. And when I said, hey, this is what I'm doing now, that word kind of spread like wildfire. That's what has contributed to a lot of my base and a lot of my success.
Well, that was a great point, and I wanted to talk about that. So you have the EOD community. Size-wise, like you said, not very big, but they're still coming to Hampton Roads on a consistent basis. So what were kind of like your touch points? You're posting in a group for EOD, like, hey, if anybody's heading this way, you remember me, I got my real estate license now.
That was really it, man. I talked to the guys at the different units and just said, hey, this is what I'm doing now. Keep your ear to the ground. You hear from anyone, please let me know. A lot of dropping couple hundred bucks on different bars at breweries and kind of just sending out the text, inviting the guys out. And
smart.
The networking for me was really just like, hey, still here, still me. This is what I do now. With the success that came in the first year as well, it definitely helped build my confidence. I was able to sit down with guys and tell them like, hey, like, this isn't a hobby for me. This isn't something I do as a side hustle. I want to help you as much as I can. And I want to perform for you guys as best I can. And that was really it.
Because once you start getting that first domino, then there's going to be others that start falling too once the word starts spreading. So you got a couple under your belt. I'm guessing this kind of pushed from there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just like anyone's network works, right? You start getting multiple referrals and those referrals start referring you. And then you get to the point to where you can't sit down for 20 minutes without your phone buzzing and it's someone, hey, I got your number from so-and-so. You're like, oh, cool. Guess so.
Awesome. Right. That's right. That's right.
Some calls to make.
Ready to go. Let's look at it from this standpoint. So if you're now the coach, kind of the mentor program, if you have 100 agents that are kind of listening to your TED talk, what are you advising them out of the gate to start on?
So, I mean, you got to build that database, right? Like you can be the best agent in the world. And if no one knows about you, you're not going to do business, right? So you need to just get in front of people, make sure people see you as that kind of real estate outlet. The other thing I'd say is definitely don't let your lack of experience or lack of confidence be what stops you from kind of going after it. Because the confidence comes with time, the experience comes with time, and the experience also comes from relying on the people that you have around you to help you. I mean, my first few deals, it was every time before I talked to the other agent, I'd call Kyle. Like, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Okay, well, what if they say this? Then I'm going to say this. Like, all right, go for it.
Kind of role playing it out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Dirt dive it sort of thing. And that's where I'd build my confidence. I fill it with other people's expertise and stuff. And so that's what I'd say to new agents, just get out in front of people. And the other thing too, I'm sure you've probably encountered this as well, is I kind of cut myself off from a lot of people that I would have normally gone after or that I should have gone after, but didn't, because I was like, oh, well, they're friends with so-and-so. They've already got an agent. Come to find out they didn't want that agent or didn't like that person after all or whatever, you know? And I was like, right. I've been told a few times like, oh man, I wish I knew you were in real estate. I would have used you. So I mean, sometimes just throwing those Hail Marys, it works out.
You never know when you're going to catch somebody at the right time. And sometimes people do have people, but if you're there consistently and they're like, okay, they eventually might come around to you, which is always a testament to staying in front of people and throwing it out there, because nothing to lose, right? Like, hey, I do real estate. Okay, cool. That's a good point though, because you know, it really comes down to building those relationships right out of the gate quickly for people, getting that sphere of influence grown. Here's an interesting one for you. So you're working with your first clients. How do you bring your home inspector expertise to the transaction now?
I started in 2022. Near to every home inspection you're writing is info only. That's what you had to do to win the deal. So first and foremost for my clients, you know, explain to them like, hey, to win this deal, you're likely going to be writing an info only inspection. We know that the HVAC is this old, the roof is this old, the water heater is this old. But obviously if that's an issue, like, hey, your HVAC's 14 years old, like that could very well be an issue. If you guys are willing to cover your own closing costs, do your inspection for info only, offer appraisal over guarantee, know very well that like, hey, you might be down another $5,000 in the next year if your HVAC goes out. Like that's your reality. So being able to prep my buyers for that, but also being able to go to a listing agent when they're sitting there with 5, 6, 7 info only home inspection offers and say, hey, like, I know everyone else is saying info only. By the way, we already know the HVAC is 14 years old. Buyers don't care. And just being able to kind of break down with that and like, hey, I used to be a home inspector. I did this. Like, clients are already well aware. We want to do a quick home inspection because, you know, make sure there's not an active volcano in the crawl space, whatever.
Right.
And I mean, honestly, even to this day, that still sometimes wins me deals is just having that explanation or hearing from a listing agent like, hey, actually, there was another offer that was a little bit higher, but the sellers were concerned about the age of the roof. But since your buyers already know and they're okay with it, like, that's huge.
That's a great advantage and really a good point on that, though, is because you're level setting and you have the experience to do that for the client where other agents might not. And as we both know, informational purposes only turns not informational purposes only, depending on how things turn out on that. Definitely a great point and opportunity for you there. You know, I imagine you're not really doing a full home inspection, but when you're talking with people now or in the beginning, was that kind of one of your selling points of like, hey, this is why you should work with me because I can pick up things that honestly, the agent that's just new to the business is not.
I think that's a cherry on top that I'm able to kind of present. I mean, you know how it goes when you're working within your sphere of influence. Most of the time, people already come to you with that level of trust already established. And I'm not saying I don't want to oversell myself, but it's definitely a talking point. It's definitely something I bring up, but not really my selling point.
Understood. Still an awesome skill set and advantage to potentially have. And from my perspective, here's a personal question for you off kind of like the home inspection side. As a loan officer, you present me a scenario. I can tell you like 99% of the time with accuracy, this is going to be fine or this is going to be a problem. So there's that 1% gray area. If you just gave me the scenario, here's what's going on. As a home inspector and going through 1,000 properties, when you start walking through a house in the beginning, could you basically tell like, all right, we got a problem or almost from the door, like we're going to run into some issues here quickly.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, sometimes you can even tell in photos if you're pointing out some things where it's like, hey, I can tell from this photo and this photo that like this was a cheap flip and they were cutting corners or whatever. It's not even worth seeing sort of thing.
Interesting. And okay.
It saved me quite a bit of time, honestly.
I would think so, especially if it's like, hey, we don't even need to go look at this one because I can pick this out from a photo. I don't even need to be in the house and I can tell you this one wasn't done well.
You know, when it comes down to it, it's obviously up to the client and stuff, but just being able to present that, you're like, hey man, like look at this photo. Like we're seeing this just off the pictures. Let's spend your time more wisely and go see a house that you actually are going to want.
And it's probably not going to get better once we walk in the door, but very cool. Okay. So let's kind of wrap up this segment with your first year in business. So winning the Rookie of the Year in Hampton Roads, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. So what was kind of your trajectory? Was there like a big month? Did you just kind of gradually keep having 4 deals a month? How did that go for you?
No, I just kept doing what the successful people told me to do. And then it ended up working out. And I mean, you and I both know like those numbers, like it's great. I'm very proud of the Rookie of the Year, big accomplishment. I think it was 9 houses I did my first year, 9 deals, and it felt great. But also a little bit of it is some of those were higher price points because it goes up based off gross commission. So a lot of those were 3%. So it worked out in that regard. But I know another guy at my brokerage who's actually also on Kyle Florio's team, Warren Brown, another great agent. He also sold 9 houses in his first year while he was active duty, but lower price points or lower commission rates or whatever it was. So he missed out on. So yeah, I'm very grateful to have that award, but still one of those things where it's like, that's not how I kind of measure the success of my first year. I measure the success of my first year by the success of my second year, honestly, and third year, just seeing how people just kept referring me
and building the growth.
That speaks louder than any award, really.
Perfect. Well, that's a good segue for us. So when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of going from that first year in business to where you're at right now. So we'll be right back with Josh.
Hey, everybody, it's Tanner Mulvihill. Some of you may only know me as a podcast host, but did you know I actually own Bayfield Home Loans as well? That's right. Since 2006, I've been exceeding expectations and creating value for my real estate partners. In today's marketplace, you should be counting on your loan officer to help generate referrals, keep you top of mind for your mutual clients, and bringing you new ideas to help you stand out. I'm going to share with you a very simple question you need to ask yourself. Did you get a new client from your loan officer in 2023? If the answer is no, they either lack the ability to help your business or sent them to someone else. Either way, it's time to take a fresh look at your business and ask yourself, what do I have to lose by giving Tanner a call? You know the answer. Give me a call at 540-850-6267. Let's get together. Talk to you soon.
Well, welcome back, everyone. So Josh, you know, you crushed that first year in business. So let's take the folks up to kind of where you're at. When you left that year, you talked about the importance of the second year and third year. So take us through that evolution and how are you continuing to get business and stay in front of people?
Just that, staying in front of people, just constantly reaching out to past clients and the same people that have been referring people to me and just kind of checking in with them, letting them know like, hey, I appreciate the business you guys have given me this far. Like it has caused my business to grow and just really showing that genuine appreciation. Because it is very genuine.
Yeah.
People trust me to make arguably the biggest financial decision of their life to some point, at least, and just passing on that appreciation.
Now, do you have a specific way that you're staying in front of them? Do you do it on a regular basis? Do you have some sort of CRM that you've really mastered? Like what's kind of, how am I hearing from you after I close or I'd refer business to you?
So I use a CRM that has monthly mailers. There's some people that like to write or call, send text messages a lot just to check in with people. Like I feel like someone would get a handwritten note from me and be like, I don't need this. Whereas I'll just use a CRM to find like, okay, who am I supposed to talk to today? And just try and figure out like, what can I talk to them about? What's something that they're motivated about, whether it's big for sports, like, hey, saw you're a fan of this team, like saw they got crushed the other day. Sorry, dude. Just find a reason to engage with them sort of thing. And more often than not, it doesn't turn to real estate. People remember my name, I guess.
It's a check-in call. So it's not a pressure sales call. It's just, hey man, how's life?
And a lot of times that does turn to real estate. Like, hey, how's business? Business is going great. Like I'm having another good year, just enjoying it. I like what I do. But do you know anyone that's looking to buy or sell right now? Sometimes it turns to something and sometimes it's no, but I'll pass them your way, obviously.
You stay in front of them. And that's always the biggest part of anything. Now, have you started doing past client events? Are you doing pop buys? What's your secret sauce right now to keep the business flowing?
Yeah. So I usually try and keep on a good schedule with pop buys. Usually try and do a client event. My wife just had our second kid. Actually, it's 3 months old today. So the last 6 months has been
a little crazy.
As far as my marketing is concerned, I'm probably getting a solid D minus in that. Granted, that being said, this has been the busiest quarter I've ever had. So, I mean, you've been in the real estate industry longer than I have. Maybe you've got the answers for why that's happening, because I certainly don't.
It's a little bit of everything. I think people were on the fence. They're like, all right, we got to buy a house now. Some people are still waiting for the rates to come down. Others have given up waiting for the rates to come down. Some people have been convinced that, look, if you buy now, you can refinance later. And so there's so much pent-up demand that I think if they actually do drop, it's going to look like COVID times two.
Sure.
Because then you actually might see sellers start really listing their homes too, if we can get close. So pre-storm, folks, they're getting it in before it gets too busy out there.
Just calm. Yeah.
All right. So tell me about your past client event party, like the last one you did. What have you done before? How'd it go?
So client events. And then, you know, as far as just getting clients together, like you said, I'm not particularly fancy. I don't like doing huge elaborate things, but it's usually just putting money on a bar somewhere, getting a couple other local professionals to donate a service, whether it's a trainer or, you know, a photographer or someone like that. It's like, hey, we're going to do a quick little raffle. But otherwise, it's mostly just about bringing people together.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Give them food, give them beer, and everyone's happy. So
how much of your business now is EOD folks somehow related? Is it 25%? Because the EOD folks are pretty chill.
Yeah, it's got to be over 75%. Lets me do showings in gym shorts and don't have to brush my hair. That sort of thing. That's where the vast majority of my clients and referrals come from.
Gotcha. So that helps too, that for doing past client events, it doesn't have to be super elaborate. I mean, I've got the bar tab open, let's hang out. And that's enough for a lot of folks, right?
That's thrown at the bat signal. That gets them there.
Good point. Well, here's a good question for you. So as you're looking to expand your business, what areas are you focusing on of where, okay, I got a huge solid base of EOD folks that if I can become the pillar for this area, that's going to be huge. But to kind of take it from the next level, what are you working on or trying to figure out right now?
You know what? I've thought about that a lot, actually, as far as how, because with the vast majority of my clients, it's great. I love it. The way I'm able to interact with them, the way I'm able to do things, it also kind of limits me to the $350 to $450 price point for the most part, right? Which that's great. That's where I'm most comfortable with. But, you know, obviously everyone wants that $1 million listing, right? So how I get to that point, I've realized just the time I've spent, it's not just so much, well, these EOD guys, well, now I've got so-and-so's uncle. Well, now there's this other person. Just honestly trusting the network, because even though the network is bringing me 90% of the time, the same guys, the same types of buyers and the same attitudes, you know, every once in a while you get that nuanced personality that opens up a whole new sphere for you. I'd say focusing on those outliers, really.
That's a good point.
On 10% tap market. Like, let's focus on that.
Because like you said, you have this locked down pretty good and then trying to get to that next group of people. And that's an interesting point of really trying to think about, okay, how do we get the guy to get the uncle referral instead of just the EOD guy, which certainly nothing wrong with 50 to 450 price points all day long, especially in our neck of the woods. Plenty to look at.
Right. Well, average price point in VB is what, like 342 or something. The other thing with that too is it helps me manage the stress of realizing, for the most part, no one's buying their dream home for $350,000 at Green Run. Which, not to say there's anything wrong with that price point or Green Run, but a lot of the times it's okay, hey, this is a 25-year-old. They're going to be here for a few years in the Navy. Like, this is their plan. So we're focused on getting them something that's going to appreciate, something that when they choose to go somewhere else or get out of Virginia, they can kind of cash out. This isn't the home they're going to raise their kids and spend the next 50 years or whatever. And granted, sometimes I am in that situation. That feels great for a whole different reason.
It seems like really just kind of thinking through that next step of how we get those people. Now, have there been any new widgets out there that's kind of excited you that maybe not everybody's been hearing about yet?
No, I haven't heard of anything particularly, but what I have tried to do when I know someone has left the area for military orders and they're in an area that's going to be sending referrals out this way, say, hey, think about getting your real estate license in Virginia, hanging it in an inactive status, and then every person you send me, you get 25%. Sure. I mean, no one likes to lose 25% of their commission, but you know what? It's a deal that you wouldn't have if it wasn't for that. And that is something that has started to get some traction. I know at least two or three different people that are getting their license, planning on hanging it inactive. And I mean, I tell them like, hey, it's a 60-hour course. Yeah, spend some significant amount of time studying, but otherwise you're not paying to keep it inactive. And then you send me two, three, four people a year, you're getting 15, 20K.
You're building a sales force. That's an awesome idea. I haven't heard of anybody telling me that before. So that is definitely interesting.
Building my own lead generators, right?
Because you have these people that are going out to the different units where EOD is going to be at, and your fingers are trying to get out there. So it's smart.
Not just EOD, but I mean, Navy in general. I'm hoping, you know, if we talk here a year from now, that I'll be able to report some significant success on that.
I think it would just kind of start snowballing and building on itself. Like, it's not going to be immediate success, but you get that one person that's really able to do it well, and then that changes everything, because then they start really spreading the word. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of military folks, and especially EOD, I was Intel. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in different segments like that. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in the military in general. Right. But you don't turn around tomorrow and suddenly become the command sergeant major or command master chief. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
And so it's these different ways to kind of start making money gets a lot of wheels turning. And that's a really good one. I like that.
And that's it. People realize too, like, oh, it's as simple as put you in a group chat with someone and then I get $4,500.
Exactly. Especially it's like, all right, so that's my two times my BAH wherever I am in Indiana right now. So
exactly.
Smart plan. I like that. All right. When we come back, we're going to go over some stories. I'm guessing that on the home inspection side and the real estate side, doing as much business, you have some good stories on what you've seen. So we will be right back with Josh.
Hey everybody, love what you're hearing so far? Want more top agents giving great tips, tactics, and motivation? Then you're in luck. The sister podcast for Virginia is for Realtors is Realtors of the Evergreen State. While this is a new venture for me, it's already climbing the charts and has had some awesome top producers from the state of Washington on already. Just search for Realtors of the Evergreen State.
Well, welcome back, everyone. So, Josh, best piece of advice you received early in your career or yesterday that's had a big impact on you that you've kind of thought about as you've been going along in the business?
Oh, just from Kyle Florio, just play offense.
Play offense.
One of those things where in passing at a party, you hear people talk about something. Don't go into a full sales pitch, but hey, what's up? My name's Josh. Like, this is what I do. Introduce yourself, get yourself out there. And sometimes it leads to something and sometimes it doesn't. And who cares? You go about your business.
Well, and that really leads to a good one for us on the next one, because this question is regarding a bold move. So a lot of times we have these opportunities in real estate mortgage where we should take advantage of, like, hand your name out there, like you mentioned, turn around in line at a Walmart if somebody mentions real estate. Can you think of a bold move that you made in your career that got you a deal that you probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise if you hadn't taken advantage of it?
Yeah, it was at a Norfolk Admirals game. We were there for my wife's work, and one of the higher ups at her work was there as well. And at this point, I had two two under contract, and they were my first two deals ever. I had a listing under contract and a buyer under contract. And they had kind of mentioned in passing that they were looking to buy a place, and I had a little bit of liquid confidence in me at that point. So I kind of shot my shot. Using me to this point, they bought three investment properties and just closed on a house that has actually been my highest price point.
Nice.
Yeah, all because at the Admirals game, I was like, I'll give it a go. They've also given me 3+ other referrals. They've also become close friends. I mean, my wife had that work relationship with her before, and you know, now text more often than not about things other than real estate. But yeah, relationship I wouldn't have had if I just kind of sat there and didn't play offense and sat there quietly.
That's awesome. It's such a great point of you have these opportunities in life that come up and you need to take advantage of them. And if you have enough come up that you do, you're going to win some of them. They may be like, oh, we're good. But the one time that you asked and they're like, oh yeah, well, we can give it a shot. And there you go. Look at that.
Exactly. And I mean, worst case scenario, they say, hey, no, not interested. And 3.5 years from now, I'm the only person that remembers that failure.
Exactly. A great point. All right. Last one for you. This question is basically your best story question. So you're sitting on a beach in 30 years. Somebody comes up to you and they say, oh, I need your best real estate story. Could have been in your home inspection days. Could have been in your real estate career so far. Funny, scary, weird, different. Just something that really stood out to you. So go ahead. Floor is yours.
When you take the real estate licensing exam, or rather the course to take it, I think the course was like 6 months long. Like you had up to 6 months to complete it. I did it all online. I was really dragging my feet. I took all 6 months and then paid for like a month extension. And what finally got me to stop paying for extensions and to finish it, I was doing a home inspection in Portsmouth, and I was with an inspector named Will. He's with Talent Termite, who's one of the best in the industry as far as wood destroying insects go. And we were in this crawl space in Portsmouth, and the way the ductwork was set up, long story short, you had to crawl all the way to the back in order to crawl all the way to the front. So we crawled all the way in, all the way through the back, and it was muddy and it was gross, and we're making it all the way through. We get to the back and Will goes, hey, it's like a significant amount of groundwater for this time of February. And I wasn't really thinking anything of it because it's true. Like the hotter months, you get more crawl spaces are more wet during the winter. I was like, yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, this is an absurd amount of water for it being February.
Right.
Crawl a little bit further. The main cast iron drain line sheared right down the middle. Right underneath where the primary bathroom, toilet, all the showers, everything. And it was one of those just chills down the back of your spine. You're like, oh my God. I just crawled through a crawl space full of poop and everything else, man. And to get out, I have to crawl right back.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that was quite literally what happened. I was crawling to my freedom in this crawl space in Portland. Actually, funny enough, the agent was Kyle Florio there for the buyer. And I remember looking at him and I had some words I don't want to say on your podcast, but I made it very clear my thoughts on that. I mean, I stripped down to my underwear, threw my stuff in the back of the truck, and I drove home just my underwear from Portsmouth. That was really it for me, where I was probably finished the real estate course within the next 3 days, I think.
You're like, I'm going to be receiving the bad news now. I'm not going to be giving it anymore.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's when I retired from crawl spaces. So
not a bad plan. Now, that's a good story to end on, but do you have any others that you're kind of thinking about right now?
Like I said, most of them came from home inspections, not so much from real estate. Got a gun pulled on me at a home inspection one time. That was cool. It was
so how does that go down? So is this a seller that was mad that you pointed out something about the house? Like, what's going on?
No, it was a quadplex where the property manager hadn't notified the tenants that we would be there. They had gone through and they had told everyone, hey, we're coming in, just so you know, these guys are going to be here. They're told like, hey, people in this one, they're not leaving. And then there's nobody in these two. So we go to the empty ones first, and one of them's empty, sure enough, and then go to the other one that's empty. Walk in, and the dude was a deep sleeper, I'll say that. Like, I made it into the living room, like made it into the kitchen, set my, you know, inspection bag down, all that sort of stuff. As I'm walking through the house, I get to the back to the bedroom, and I just see the shadow kind of moving. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I see the shadow moving across like the window. I kind of pause for a second. I hear roar being ripped open. I was like, oh, this is going to be fantastic, whatever this is. And sure enough, this guy comes out and he's got a Glock, and he's like, who the, you know, going off, which in fairness to him, like, he obviously didn't get the notification that we were going to be there. So some random dude's all of a sudden in his living room.
Yeah.
And I'm six 6'2", 6'3" on a good day, 230. Like, I wouldn't be super excited if some random person came into my house that was my size and had all their inspection tools and stuff. And
Right. Like, what's going on? Right.
Yeah, dude. So he was pretty upset, understandably. And I was just kind of sitting there like, oh, this is how it's going to go. This is how it's going
to
end.
I feel like you should be like, all right, I'm going to charge an extra $50 on this one for the unfold on mid fee.
I told the buyer's agent, I think, I was like, hey, dude, you're going into these rooms first if you even want me to think about finishing. And he's like, yeah, okay. It was actually funny. I remember the dude's name is Randy. We were able to de-escalate the situation, and then he came up to me like 20 minutes later because I was out by the truck while we were figuring out what to do. He's like, hey, man, I want to apologize to you. It's like, I don't think you need to apologize to me, but thank you. It was just one of those situations where cooler heads prevailed. It was like, ah.
Between the two of those, I can see why you made the move to the real estate side to continue to crush it. But Josh, can't thank you enough for coming on the show, man. Those are some interesting and crazy stories. And congratulations to you on all your success so far. And can't wait to see where it goes from here.
I really appreciate your time.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Virginias for Realtors podcast. If you're a realtor looking for a loan officer you can count on to follow up with the leads you send, keep you updated on the transaction every step of the way, and get you to the closing table on time, give me a call. I'd love the opportunity to sit down with you for coffee to learn more about your business and how we can make it even better. Until next time, this is Tanner Mobihill on the Virginia is for Realtors podcast.